Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 35. Nobody expects the City Planning Commission.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. We are happy that you have come back to join us. We're really excited today to have Mary Pearson on with us. Mary wears a lot of hats. Mary Pearson is the Dean of the Dixie L. Levitt School of Business at Southern Utah University, which is her day job. She also owns her own CPA practice, which she has had for 19 years. She also was recently seated on the board at State Bank of Southern Utah, which I thought was super cool. And the reason we have asked Mary here today, aside from the fact that she's super awesome, is that Mary is also the chair of the Cedar City Planning Commission. And we wanted to just sort of have a conversation about what is the Planning Commission, who cares, what the Planning Commission is, does, because it's sort of a step in a long process that that I'm not sure everybody is aware of. So, Mary Pearson is here to explain the Planning Commission. On the city website, it says that the Planning Commission is a body of Cedar City residents who review many land use issues. Among other items, they make recommendations to the City Council regarding the city's general plan, land use ordinances, official maps, the approval of subdivisions, and the approval of conditional use permits. Where appropriate, they may also delegate their power to designated land use authorities to hear and act on a land use application. So, with that as a foundation, kind of talk to us about, you know, what the Planning Commission's role is, what your role is as chair, what's the function, and why should people care?
Well, I think a lot of our role, I serve with you, Jenny, on the Planning Commission. And I think our role is really, we're almost like the gatekeeper to looking at the general use plan for the city and making sure that we're making recommendations and decisions that really uphold the beauty of this area that mm-hmm. we live in. And holding to this general land plan that was created with the intent to create this environment that is safe and healthy for the residents of Cedar City. And so I really feel like our role is, again, kind of like a gatekeeper. We, mm-hmm. of course, you know this, we don't make the final decisions, but we certainly listen and have an intent in the meeting to maintain the beauty that we all enjoy here in Southern Utah.
Yeah, and I think part of, to your point, is in order to maintain this wonderful thing that we have, you've got to have a plan, you know. And so part of the role of the Planning Commission is to sort of match up requests from community developers, builders, you know, whoever's coming before us, zone people who want zone changes, that sort of thing. Match it up with the general plan. Does it match? Yes or no? Does it need to be changed? Yes or no? If it does need to be changed, what does that look like? How do we do it? So what is that vetting process like? As a planning commission, mm-hmm. so someone comes in and says, "Hey, I want to put a development here."
Yeah, most of the time when they come our way, right before yeah. they get to us, uh-huh. they've already met with the city officials mm-hmm. to see if the plan or the design or the development that they are trying to have passed through the commission really fits well within that area in the city. So before it even gets to us, generally it's been through the eyes of the city to make sure that it qualifies mm-hmm. And meets the qualifications of that particular zone. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to us for a zone change, that's a little different. Uh-huh. That's where things can get a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's our responsibility to see if that proposal that requires a zone change fits well within the area that where it wants to sit.
Yeah.
Is it going to improve the quality of that area, or is it likely that could deteriorate and become a nuisance to the existing landowners. Mm-hmm. And so to get to us, it goes through a process long before it meets us with city officials, with many times with the city attorney, before it even we even see it in front of us.
Right.
And I don't, I'm not sure if I answered quite that question.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
But before it comes to us, it's been through a vetting process.
Uh-huh.
And then it's up to us to look at that and as a council decide if that's, or a committee, and decide if that really has a good, if it fits well within the ordinance. I think also something that's interesting with what we do, it is the way that the commission is set up. Is it's a wide variety of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about it. Because you have a mix of people with very different backgrounds that sit on the commission that can represent a variety of interests. Mm-hmm. And usually we can come together and make a decision that in most cases is a unanimous decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because there's a variety of folks. I mean, Jenny, you have... You who sits on here as a realtor, we have an architect, we have somebody that works for the school district, we have people in construction, mm-hmm. you have myself and a city council member. I mean, it's a wide representation, which I think is essential that we have on that board, so that whoever's in front of us feels like they have not a biased committee, somebody that maybe will not understand what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And I think given the nature of the requests that come before the Planning Commission and given sort of the makeup of the board, to your point earlier, talking about, you know, does this thing request fit with current zoning? If we're being asked to recommend on a zone change, does that zone change, you know, sort of mesh with the existing zones around it? What could possibly be done in that zone? But I feel like the Planning Commission also looks at things through the lens of private property rights. And I feel like that's sort of the balance that everybody is trying to strike, is we have an obligation to represent, you know, what we're tasked to do as far as the general plan and you know, being sort of a vetting process. But also, I think everybody is really sensitive to somebody coming in and saying, I own this dirt, I own this property, and here's what I want to do with it. How can we get to that place? So what are your thoughts on that, on speaking to, you know, sort of that push and pull that we sometimes find ourselves in?
Yeah, I think... And you hit it right, push and pull,
mm-hmm.
because I think the hardest issues that we have to deal with are when you have a landowner that comes in, mm-hmm. What he's proposing to do fits completely within the zoning for that area. It's, you know, he's not asking for even a zone change,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it meets the qualifications of that area. But then you'll have existing landowners that come in and say, but we've lived here mm-hmm. for 15 years
mm-hmm.
and there's never been an apartment complex behind in my backyard before. And this hard part for us is I can certainly sympathize with
that.
Sure, I've lived in a home where they put a freeway in my backyard. But I bought that home knowing that was... the intention and that could happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so when it happened, I didn't like it,
uh-huh.
but I knew that it was certainly outside of my control and what I could do because I went in knowing that was how it was zoned and planned at the time I bought it. So when folks come in, I think that's where you're talking the push and pull.
Yeah.
Is looking and protecting. Yes. If you bought this property and it's a zoned an R3
mm-hmm.
for multi, residential or
multi-family
units, you have the right to build that type of property uh-huh. on there, even if it's been a vacant piece of land
right.
for 30 years.
Right. Right.
You know, and I think that's where the difficult part comes from us, because mm-hmm. we all understand the emotional side to that. But on the other hand, it is required of us to allow
uh-huh.
that person to be able to have the right to build mm-hmm. what they bought that property and intended to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So for existing homeowners, what's the best way that they can figure out what's planned in their area so that they aren't caught off guard like that? Yeah.
And we hear that quite often. You know, I was told this, and now this is what's happening. And so I think the best thing that you could do is that when you purchase a piece of property, that you look around, what is the existing zoning around you? Mm-hmm. What and if there's an empty piece of land that's behind you or to the side of you, you better know mm-hmm. how that is zoned before you buy it. Because mm-hmm. even if, as Cedar City grows, which it's mm-hmm. going to.
It is, yeah.
It's very likely.
It is happening right now.
Right, that's going to be developed. So I think the best part is go in open, with your eyes open. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you've asked that question. And look at the document and make sure, sometimes we don't, if Jenny tells me it's this way, mm-hmm. okay, show me.
Yeah.
And make sure and verify that it's right. We would mm-hmm. hope and pray that our folks would be ethical in mm-hmm. disclosing those things mm-hmm. up front, but we also know that doesn't always happen. So, yeah. you know, make sure you've looked at the documents and you've asked the right questions. What is the zoning around me? And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does an R2 zone mean?
What does an
R3 zone mean? Yeah. What does a multi-use mean?
Yeah. yeah.
Because if you know that going in, then it's not going to blindside you when that property owner comes forward with a plan to
exactly.
develop that property.
Yeah.
You know, behind my own home is property that is owned by the state of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the state of Utah told me years ago, we're going to create this and make this into a park. That was 13 years ago, and it's never happened. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm always wondering, okay, now what are they going to do back there? Uh-huh. But I went in knowing how it was zoned uh-huh. and what they could do. And now I'm educated
yes.
in going into that process. So I would recommend that folks do the same thing.
Where do people go? If someone is contemplating buying a piece of property somewhere in Cedar City, who do they go to? Who do they talk to get that information?
Well, I'm sure as part of your realtor's license, your realtor would have that information. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. but I know that you can also, there's several, I think, several different folks mm-hmm. that would answer that question for you. You can always go to the city office.
Always go to the city office.
Yeah. Always, and they'll disclose that for you. But also, when you can go to the recorder's office mm-hmm. and get information that way. But go in and ask the right questions and ask for clarity. And I know as a realtor, you would much rather go in with full disclosure.
Absolutely.
Than have somebody Absolutely. Come back to you in a year from now and say, you never told me.
No, it's the worst thing as an industry professional to say, you know, well, my realtor told me X, Y, and Z, and now I find out that that's not true. In our industry's defense, I think most of the time realtors are trying to be helpful. But here's what I instruct all of my agents to do. You be the source of the source. You don't be the source of the information. If someone has a zoning question, a land use question, anything like that, you help that person get to who's got the documents, like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people are able to understand that sort of process, that the agents are supposed to be helping you get the information, not just giving you the information, because agents are not experts in all things zoning and planning and, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So the reason I bring that up is because we do occasionally get that on the planning commission. People mm-hmm. come in and say, well, I bought it because somebody told me this, but it is really important. Start at the city. You can go to the county, the recorder's office, talk to the assessor. You know, if you have any kind of, you know, is it a secondary home? Anyway, we could go down that road for a long time, but your point is well made. Go to the place where the documents are and look at those documents. Understand what it is. And I love the point about understanding. If it says R2, what does that mean?
The city yeah. website has some great maps on it too, mm-hmm. detailing not just what every individual lot is zoned for, but the subdivision names and everything. So many different layers. You can see where all the city utilities are. You can see the plans for here's how we plan to expand the roads in your area. A lot of great information that can help inform you so that you don't buy a house thinking, oh, you know, this is a nice, quiet neighborhood, and then in 20 years, you got a 5-lane road next door.
Yeah. No, and there's some of that we kind of can see is coming at us on the Planning Commission. kind of shifting gears just a little bit, talking about the composition of the Planning Commission. You had touched on this earlier. You know, there's people there from so many different industries and corners of our community. How does one get on the Planning Commission? Why is the Planning Commission personnel the way that it is?
Well, of course, this is not an elected position. Mm-hmm. So we've all been appointed mm-hmm. and asked to serve on this commission by the mayor. Mm-hmm. And so we serve as, I think, again, as a kind of a gatekeeper uh-huh. to the city council to kind mm-hmm. of vet some of the issues before it gets to them. And again, it's appointed through the mayor for us to be. So if you're interested in that, I would suggest if somebody was interested in sitting on the Planning Commission, I would suggest that you meet with one of your city council members,
yes.
meet with the mayor, and show your interest in and why you would like to serve mm-hmm. On the Planning Commission. Because it is, for me, I love Cedar City, mm-hmm. and I know that the other commission members do as well. Mm-hmm. And our interest is to maintain the beauty of our area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you have a true and a sincere desire to do that, I would suggest that you approach your city council members and the mayor or the mayor. I'm sure she would appreciate it if you probably meet the city council members first
uh-huh.
and share with them your interest to serve. And there are so mm-hmm. many opportunities in Cedar City. I've served on several committees before serving on the commission that really educated me on the process mm-hmm. of how do we make things happen
mm-hmm.
and what does it take to change things
mm-hmm.
And the budgetary process to do that. It's been,
yeah.
it was a great experience to serve on some of the other auxiliary committees for
uh-huh.
the city.
Yeah. No, and I think that there is a member of the city council who is appointed to be on the Planning Commission. So you've got sort of a liaison between the Planning Commission and the city council, someone who is there to hear the debate,
mm-hmm.
to hear the different opinions that are expressed. Because at the end of every agenda item, there's a vote taken. A lot of times it's unanimous. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a 3-2 split, one way or another. But it is just a recommending body. And so the city council, I think, gets the benefit of that interaction by having a city council elected person appointed to the Planning Commission. I feel like that's a valuable connection.
Oh, absolutely. Because again, we're kind of this gatekeeper, and I think that it's been wonderful to have Craig Eisen. We had Fred Rowley before mm-hmm. Craig that served on in that capacity, and then when they can go to the city council and they can share what our discussions have been mm-hmm. before we came up with our recommendation, I'm sure that has to help them mm-hmm. as they make the final decision and what
yeah.
needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think that's a wonderful process, and I certainly have appreciated having a city council member
yeah.
on the commission.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that a large part of the commission is to look at a request to do something and compare it against the master plan. Does that mean that there are some constraints you have to work within before you make a recommendation? It's not just all freewheeling, we'll make it up on the fly?
Absolutely not. the city has paid quite a bit of money to have a professional come in years ago, and they did quite a bit of analysis before getting to that point of how did we see the city growing? How do we see ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And then they created this master plan based upon who are we and what do we want to become? And so if we ignore the master plan that took into account growth over the next 10, 20, 30 years, we're really not doing our job, because and it is extremely critical. We're always updating our master plan.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something that we need to look at. When was the last time it was updated? That's a critical question as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the master plan right now is something that we definitely need to give a weight to when
yeah.
we're making decisions, because it was with the intent of maintaining the beauty of Cedar City, maintaining the qualities that we all love and enjoy here,
mm-hmm.
but keeping in mind the growth that will occur mm-hmm. over the next several years. So when we make a decision, yes, we refer back to the general plan, which when it was created had different zoning.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a new zone that's very similar to the zone that was in existence when that master plan was created. So taking that into account is always definitely probably the first step. Mm-hmm. That's the first place we look to see what was the plan when this was created.
Yeah.
And is it still something that we agree and would like to uphold? And so mm-hmm. I have to say, yes, that's the first step.
Well, when you buy a property, it's always about location, location, location.
Right.
You buy a property not just thinking, here's what's on these four sides, but, you know, what's the area like? What's mm-hmm. nearby? Will there be a grocery store nearby? Is there going to be a school? Is someone going to put in a hog processing facility?
And the one that we hear a lot is, and you touched on this earlier, is I bought this property for the view. And that's hard. It's hard when people come in and say, my lifestyle is about to change because someone else is going to do something on an adjoining property. As a commission, we're not necessarily tasked to make decisions based on that kind of stuff. We're tasked to make decisions based on master plan, the general plan, zoning.
For the community as a whole.
Private property rights. Yeah.
Yes. And that, again, that it pulls at your emotions mm-hmm. because we all know how that person's feeling.
Uh-huh.
And it's certainly not that we're not sympathetic.
Sure.
I think that's something sometimes we have to remind the community. It's not that we don't understand mm-hmm. where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
but there was a master plan that was created for the betterment of the city as a whole.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have to remember that our interests are important, mm-hmm. definitely. And that's why the community has a voice.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a public hearing, mm-hmm. that's why they should come
mm-hmm.
if they're passionate about something. But we also have to look at what was the intention of this zoning when it was created initially,
mm-hmm.
and start there.
You brought up something that I think is really important, and it's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on, is the function of the Planning Commission, as you said, is sort of that gatekeeper. But one of the things that is really important is to have that public input. So how do people find out about a commission meeting? Where is that? Who cares? Why should they show up?
Yeah. If there is a public hearing or something that impacts a property owner that's within, and I'm going to get this wrong, Jenny, maybe you can help me. I'm not sure how many feet. Is it 300?
300
mm-hmm. feet from a request for a zone change, then that property owner will receive a notice in the mail. But it will also be, it's also on the city website.
Mm-hmm.
It's posted on the Cedar City website and for at least a week in advance. It's required to be on at least for a week in advance. Mm-hmm. So if you hear rumblings of things that are happening, I would suggest that if it's something that's going to impact you close by within 300 feet, you'll get something in the mail. Check your mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've also heard, well, I don't get my mail more than once a week.
Right.
Well, you know, that's a problem. But if you don't have access that way, then look online.
Uh-huh.
You know, be aware of what's happening around you. Because usually it doesn't just, you know, blindside you. Usually you can, you're seeing things happening around
yes.
you. And there's always, and if you ever have a question, our city officials are
so fabulous.
Excellent to work
so
with.
So fabulous.
Head down to the city office and ask some questions mm-hmm. about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain and confident that they will lead you in the right direction, mm-hmm. get you maybe in contact with the property uh-huh. owner so you can ask those questions.
Yeah.
I saw some of the work that the city council's done on the Westview Drive road expansion plan and seeing how they've involved everyone mm-hmm. there to say, all right, let's see if we can find a better way, you know. It works. Just show up.
Absolutely. And I think even at the Planning Commission level, where we're just a recommending body, we really are interested in that public input. The pros and cons. We want people to come and talk to us and give us information. Many times a citizen comes in and says, well, did you know about X? No, I didn't. But that's certainly a factor, you know, in making a recommendation now that we have that information. Yeah. So I think that's one of the most important things is to be involved. One of the things that is so heartbreaking sitting on the commission is somebody comes in and to speak against or to protest something that we're doing. And they say, well, why wasn't I notified of this zone change? And it's like, well, it happened 10 years ago. you know?
And
that person wasn't aware of something that happened years ago that allowed, you know, whatever is happening currently. So it's just, it's something that I really want to emphasize. It's so important to just, like you said, be aware of what's happening. Not just in your immediate area, but you know, you can go in and read the minutes. Yeah. You can go in and see when the meetings are being held. Come in and check it out.
And Jenny, you know this, there's been plenty of times on the commission when the public will have an interest and we listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of a public
Absolutely.
Hearing, is to allow the public to come and share their thoughts about whatever the change is that's going to take place and impact them. And there's been plenty of times where we have had a negative recommendation on something.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's been a time where we've said, you know what, we need to pause.
Yeah.
And you need to go back and get more information.
More information.
And bring this to us in 2 weeks or a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the process works.
Yes.
I also hear too often, well, you know, we came, shared our opinion, but it didn't change anything. And that may be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never speak up, then you never know what the outcome will be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I really love the process. And that's why we live here.
Absolutely.
What's one of the beauties of living in America.
Yeah.
Is the opportunity to have a voice.
Absolutely. And I think especially in this great community, where the opportunity to speak is so close, you know, I mean, you just have to go a few blocks down to the city offices and our meetings are held in the council chambers. And so I would invite everybody to become involved, understand what the process is. And like you just said, speak up, let us know what your thoughts are. Let us know what information you have. It's tremendously helpful.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I know you've got some place to be, so we will wrap it up. I forgot to introduce us at the beginning.
Well, I think people probably know who we are.
So thank you so much for joining us. This has been Color Country Politics, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.